It is 11 o'clock. We appreciate everyone who's joined us so far. Let's give it a couple of minutes since this is the first one. See if there's a couple of stragglers, and then we'll get going. We know everyone's time is precious for sure. And then you guys probably got the message, but we are recording this. Just want to put it on so for people who weren't able to join can listen to it, get an idea of what was talked about. So. Okay, so I gave it one more whole minute, so we'll get started because I know everyone is interested in hearing what we have to say, and hopefully a lot of you guys have some questions. So thank you for calling in today. This is our first chat with the UCA team. It's something we're trying out to see if it's helpful to you guys, our customers. We are, as I mentioned in the letter I sent out to everyone, we want to try and be more transparent. We understand that we serve you guys and that the radio system that we manage is your system and we're in charge of managing it for you. So we want to be more transparent and more available if you guys have questions. Obviously, this is probably the biggest year in the history of public safety radio in the state of Utah. Not to sound dramatic, but it's just bottom line is the fact that we're cutting over to our new statewide system. It will truly be a statewide system. So we are really excited. We are really busy, as you guys can imagine. We have a thousand things going on, but we need about 999 things from you guys this year because of, the transition period that we're in now. And so we want to make it super clear so that you guys can go through this transition with us as smooth as possible. There will be hiccups. We are going to acknowledge that now. We just know there will be, but we hope with as much, communication and keeping the open lines and constantly reaching out and sending you guys information that we can minimize some of that frustration and some of those hiccups. We're obviously going to get better, or at least that's our plan as we go county to county through the soft cutover. We're certainly doing that through the PSAP integration portion that we're in right now. We intend to learn from mistakes and fine-tune the process as we go through our soft cutover and then use those lessons learned for our final cutover. So hopefully it will be a lot smoother as we go through it, and it will be smooth for you guys too. That's the key. Obviously, we've got to maintain communication for you guys so you guys can do your job and keep all of your employees and, of course, all of our citizens safe through the process. So it's a big task. We're up for it, but we're definitely going to lean on our partnership with our customers throughout this year to make this a huge success for you guys. So, with that being said, this really is a meeting that we want you guys to ask questions. We do have a couple of things that we can go through. I was going to have Phil and Mike talk about some of the cutover, the soft cutover, the expectations, and things like that. But I want to open it up first to see if there's any specific questions that anyone has that we can address. If not, then we'll go into our soft cutover. That might, get some questions coming our way. But I just want to make sure that it's your time and that we give you the floor if you have specific things you'd like us to address before we go into the soft cutover. So is there anyone who has a specific topic they would like to bring up before we jump into the soft cutover? I don't see any hands. So I am going to turn it over to Phil. I think Phil might have a quick PowerPoint he wants to share. And if any time there's questions, please use your raise your hand, or you can jump into. And raise your hand, obviously, electronically, but or you can just jump in and then we'll try and address it. If you want to throw a question in the chat, we'll be monitoring that as well. So, before I do, I don't know if we should do introductions, but I'm Tina Matthew. Phil, I'll let everyone at the UCA team, if you guys will introduce yourselves, and then Phil can jump into his PowerPoint. Sorry.
All good. My name is Phil Krebs. I'm the Radio Network Division Director here at UCA. So I am mostly over the infrastructure, both, you know, backhaul side and the LMR mobile radio side as well.
Hi, I'm Brad Hannig. I'm the Deputy Director here at UCA. I'm fairly new, but I'm here to help any way I can.
I'm Mike Vinandal. I'm the Interoperability Division Director in your state SWIC. I'm over interoperability and the programming group for UCA.
I'm Dan Dialog. I am the Assistant Radio Network Division Director under Phil.
Hey, you ready?
Yeah,
ready
go for it.
The slides? Okay. All right, yeah, so this is our cutover high-level plan. So this is what we had up at our stakeholders conference. If you went there, it's been just updated in minor fashion. But I wanted to talk a little bit about kind of some of the things that are going on behind the big high-level bullets that we have up here on the screen. Kind of, I guess, to reiterate what we said at cutover, you know, we are basically in preparation mode between now and August of this year. Our plan is to start cutting over the state from the southern portion to the northern portion of the state. We are, like I say, as we're doing the preparation, there are some steps that I wanted to talk about. So right now we are at each of the public safety answering points, the PSAPs, and we are integrating the VHF resources, the 800 conventional resources. We are working on setting up the paging tones that ride some of those resources out to the fire departments and different agencies that get paged. We are integrating a feature that we call, that L3Harris calls Call Director, but kind of known here in the state as radio arbitration, which connects the phone consoles to the radio consoles. So we're in the process of connecting those together. We are setting up the backup radios solutions, making sure that they're in place, that the PSAPs have a working radio set that allows them to connect if the P25 system goes down. Also the recording pieces that are out at the PSAPs. And then, of course, we're implementing the fleet map that has been, you know, chosen by the agencies across the state. And Mike Vinandal will talk more about that and the radio programming that he's responsible for. But this is kind of going in those pieces that I just mentioned are kind of going in three phases. So right now we're in a console resource integration phase. That's where we're bringing those pieces into the consoles, testing them with the new Symphony consoles. In order to do that, we have locked changes on the current system, the current console, the current Motorola Gold Elite systems. Where anything that's a major change or that would make a change to the resources, we've basically locked. And we'll talk about how we're going to lock the P25 system for changes in the future as well. But right now we're in console integration phase. Step two is we're going to go into what we're calling a soft cutover. So soft cutover is when we will be basically verifying with L3Harris, UCA staff, and PSAP staff, as well as agencies out in the field, as to this, you know, working function of the Symphony consoles, that the radios are programmed correctly, and that they're able to interoperate with the new Symphony consoles. And we'll be going through each of those resources, signing off on them, ensuring that they work. After we have gone through all those resources that I've mentioned, we're going to lock down the system, not make changes, and then proceed into final cutover, which should be just a short cutover, you know, 1 or 2 days, something like that, at each PSAP, maybe a few more days if it's a larger center or larger population area. But we're trying to make the final cutover as simple as possible, where all we're doing is just jumpering wires in the back room to basically make the final cutover, removing the old system in that area, or turning off the old system. We'll do the removal part later, and basically bringing everything live one step at a time. We do have the ability to bridge the 800 trunk system and the P25 system during cutover, or during final cutover, during that few days or week, whatever it's going to be in your area. We have the ability to basically bridge those two systems up to, we'll call it 20 talk groups in any given area, via something called an interop rack, where we're able to tie those two pieces together. So that is essentially our plan, and we're proceeding forward. We're very busy. If we're non-responsive, it's not because we're trying to be or we're ignoring you. It's because we're very busy every day trying to get through everything. So happy to take questions or comments on these topics.
Thanks, Bill. Do you have a copy of the soft cutover schedule that you could put up on the screen and show everyone?
Yeah, let me go see if I can find that.
Or, I got it up. I can throw it up.
Thanks, B. Wow. Can you make that a little bit larger so you guys can see? We're really trying to maintain the same flow of the final cutover. So we, as everyone has probably heard for a long time now, we're starting our cutover in Kane County. Then you can see we're going to Garfield, Sevier, Paiute, Wayne. So that is the same flow that we're planning on for our final cutover, and we're doing that intentionally so we can just validate the number of days we've got scheduled for final cutover, although we have much more work to do in our soft cutover than we believe we'll have in our final cutover. So if we can accomplish everything that we need to do and all of the checklists and having all of the testing that we're going to be performing during the soft cutover completed in the days we have scheduled, then we feel very, very confident that we'll be able to manage the tasks that we have in our final cutover. Does anyone have any questions or concerns about anything that Phil has brought up?
This is Kevin. I have a question about.
Yeah. So this. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Kevin.
So with the soft cutover, that's when you plan on reprogramming all the Motorola radios and adding in the P25 zones. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. So one question I have with that is, you know, we obviously have a lot, we have a lot of Motorola radios that are going to need to be flashed upgrade to add, whether it be P25 phase one, phase two, or encryption. And that we're currently working with Motorola on getting that. We're just waiting for a couple of agencies to submit their order. But what we were hoping is that we could maybe do those two things at the same time. So, you know, have one location where they're bringing in their radios, they have Motorola do their flash upgrades, do the tuning, et cetera, and then move on to you guys. Would that be something we could do or no?
Yeah, I think that, and we could work together. And I think you brought this up with me a little bit before. And even if it's in, you know, the days prior to, now that we kind of have a closer idea of where that's going to be at, I think that one of the things we're looking at is potentially utilizing those of you that have already been certified and trained to program to help with us as well. And maybe some of that can be done prior to as well, getting you those templates and those code plugs. So my team is working right now, as you said, Kevin, to try and get all of your guys' current personalities added with the three zones. And as soon as those are done, we would work with you guys to maybe get those even started then, to get some of them pre-programmed potentially before we even get there, which allows us to have a little less time or a little time to focus on other things while we're there with your teams to do that. So I think, yeah, in conjunction with that, I think the one thing to mention is, and this brings up a good topic with Kevin, is making sure that you have checked to make sure those radios are flash upgraded to phase one for your older radios if they haven't already, or phase two if they can be upgraded to phase two prior to, and that the firmware is the latest available software. So You know that some of the XTSs, XTLs have been out of Motorola service for quite some time now, 10 years in some cases with most of them. And so making sure that you have the last firmware updated is important. So I think it would work good if we could have that teamwork to get that done. Then we can assure better that your radios are going to work and that final testing is done.
Thanks for the question, Kevin. There was someone else and I wasn't sure who it was. Oh, Jennifer, go ahead.
I was wondering, because some people already have planned vacations that are paid for and stuff, and that's right on the time that you're supposed to be in iron. So I don't know how hard that schedule is, or if like maybe if it works with Beaver, if we could switch our times.
Yeah, Jennifer, if you would just shoot us an email. And there's going to be people with conflicts. I think that for even with cutover, this is scheduled with L3H. And so we are pretty, it's not in permanent marker, but it's pretty set. If there's someone else that you can have assigned to handle it, if the PSAP director isn't on scene or can't be because you have a vacation, obviously we don't expect you to cancel your vacation, but I think having someone else as your point of contact would be helpful for us. If we try to accommodate everyone, I don't know if we'll ever get cut over. So if it's a massive issue, you can email us. But we would ask that if you have a conflict personally, if you would assign someone else. And then I think, Paul, you had your hand raised.
Yes, I keep running off to other people's crises during this meeting. So in 20 words or less, I saw I had something for Beaver County in May, and now I see something here for March. So in 20 words or less, what are these schedules? What is happening on these dates for me?
Mike, I'll let you take
that. Yeah, so this is the soft cutter. This is the dates that are on the screen here, Paul, or when we'll be coming out to your county to do the reprogramming of the radios, as well as if the work, some of the work isn't done in the PSAPs, that work will be finalized as well. Within the PSAPs, we'll be doing testing within the regions. So our goal on our soft cutter for programming is to test your talk groups, final talk groups, as we come into the county and as we exit the county to assure that you're accessing the towers that your talk groups are allowed on and that the statewide interoperability and other talk groups are working where they're necessary. So this will really be for my team. It'll be programming and the testing those, testing the emergency function to assure it's going where you want it to on your radios, and making sure those things get fine tuned or identified so that we can make changes if necessary.
Paul, did that answer your question?
Sorry, so okay. This is soft cut over you're saying right here. Sorry, I have more people having crises.
No, you're good. Yes, sir. Yep, soft cut over. These dates are for the soft cut over for programming.
Okay, thank you.
Can you scroll up? Or is it at the top? All right, thanks.
Hey, does anyone else have any questions about the soft cutover?
Okay. Sorry, one other question is, one of the things that we need to have done, and I'm curious if this is when would be the appropriate time or if we need to schedule something else, is we have eight or so of the Harris radios, mobile radios that we will be utilizing for our backups. They're going to be, we're going to have them in our server room and then, you know, wire them to the Teach console up on the floor. And we've also ordered a combiner because we needed to, our current combiner is only 800. So we ordered a new combiner through you guys. I guess as far as that installation goes, would that be part of this or what do we need to do for those radios?
So I'll take that one. So the backup radios, if you've ordered the radios through, you know, L3 Harris or Motorola, it's probably going to be a if it's L3 Harris, it'll be probably L3 Harris that helps you connect those to the actual consoles if there's a console connection. If you've ordered Motorola's, then it's going to be probably Motorola slash /L3Harris for the actual connection to the console. And if they don't touch the console, then it's probably just the, you know, between yourself and the vendor. As far as the combiner that's
Hey, sorry to interrupt real quick. Is this being recorded? I can watch it later.
Yep, it is.
Okay. If you can send that to me later, I got to go. See ya.
Go for it. No problem. As far as the combiner goes, we'll handle that one, I think, as a one-off at your PSAP. We are collecting a punch list of a host of issues, and we're going to be working those throughout the summer, somewhat independently of the different trips to the PSAPs. The different trips to the PSAPs that we have planned have pretty specific goals in mind. And then there are, like I say, these punch list items that are kind of for each PSAP. We'll do our best to minimize the trips to the PSAPs so that, you know, we're not bothering you and causing interruptions in your workflow. But yeah, in the case of the combiner, I think that'll be a one-off.
Okay, so that makes sense. As far as we have the XL185s. That's our plan for the backup, and they'll, you know, connect to the console for the direct connection there. So is that something we will be contact? Do we need to reach out to Harris for that, or is that part of their schedule where they'll be going to each PSAP for those backup radios?
So we're still collecting that final answer on what your solution is. As you've probably seen that message from Melanie. But our plan is to basically send that list of decisions over to L3Harris and then start working through them. As far as my guess is L3Harris will reach out to you if you bought radios from them to start integrating those.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Hey, mm-hmm. Phil, do you mind? Yeah. If I have a question also regarding this back. I have that email from L2, and we're about to give an answer back, but I don't know if this is something you could answer. We were looking at the Zetron pathway, and it looks like it's not a problem that it can connect to four consoles at a time. Do you happen to know offhand, though, if it's going to have any issues with changing channels? I know that's kind of a stretch, but I couldn't find anything about that.
So it depends on, so in your particular case, the radios that you guys have if I know you've ordered a certain set of new radios, I think right. They're L3Harris, if I'm not mistaken. Those can be controlled by the console to change channels between the P25 channels using that advanced backup radio function. Okay. If I know I was sent a list of radios that you'd still like to keep that are Motorola, and they don't use any of the standardized ways of changing channel, specifically tone remote control, and they're using some Motorola proprietary way of changing channels on those radios. So for those radios, they need to either be put into that standardized mode of tone remote control, or you know, do something else, like put a control head at the console. Okay. Are you coming to the meetup with UCA later today between Salt Lake City and us?
Yes.
Okay. I'd love to go through it in detail with you guys. And just okay. So you know, all the PSAP directors, we've got this emergency meeting at 4 p.m. I plan to give excruciating detail on all of this later, but we wanted to give an opportunity for general questions with the larger audience here.
That'll work. Thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
Hey, really good questions. Does anyone else have any questions or concerns?
Can you show that soft cutover schedule again? It's Gus. I just didn't see someone on there. If you could just tell me that date.
We can put it back up on the screen. And just so you know, we will publish this meeting and the documents that we share in the meeting. We'll publish those on our website. I don't know who all has been sent the invite. Plus I sent out the Teams meeting where they didn't have to have the calendar invite. So it's not as if we have a list of everyone who's going to be on these calls. So we will post these in a specific location on our website so you guys can access this. But Gus, do you see right there on line 26 for you guys?
I see it. Thank you.
Perfect. All right. Does anyone else have any questions? Mike B, do you have some more that you wanted to address with programming?
I think the biggest thing I think we kind of went over as far as making sure your radios are prepared and make sure that during this time, and we'll send this out as a list of tasks to make sure you guys have and help you guys prepare and to help us be prepared. I think that's the biggest thing. Additionally, I'll be reaching out to each agency, the contact that I have in this list over the next few days, and finalizing and scheduling location for the programming and making sure that we have what we need or that we show up with what we need to be able to do the programming, as well as working with you to do some of that pre-programming done and just assuring that we're ready to go. I think that the other thing that's big on this and will be big for the migration, the final migration as well, is those static radios or those radios that are in locations that may need to be visited to be programmed, having you guys make sure that you have a list of those identified, that if it's in a facility that we have a contact and a way to make sure that we can get into those facilities and to assure that we can actually make sure that those are ready. We're in the process of doing some final testing on some of the radios. Like I said before, I just want to reiterate, make sure that your radios are flash upgraded to phase one. Make sure that firmware is good, because that's going to be vital to being able to be on the system. If it's not done at the time of final programming, that radio will not work most likely on the system, especially the older radios. They may not work for the newer radios if it doesn't have the latest firmware. So assure that that's ready to go if you haven't already done that. And I know a lot of you are already working on that. The other thing is we'll identify a little bit deeper at the first soft cutter, those radios that are going to be coming over. So as we work with you or we're in the area, those radios that we program, those are the ones we're identifying that are going to come over at migration. So we can try and get a final list from you or from this process to assure that we know what's going to be there, that we have IDs assigned to those radios, that they're ready to go. So we want to make sure that every radio that we can gets there, or that it gets programmed by those of you that are certified in this process to assure it's ready for the go live dates. And then there'll just be some tasks, some small things like making sure batteries and that, and making sure we set out times. My team will plan on being there during this process and throughout the day, so that we can assure that we can get all those. We know that you guys work shift works. We'll prioritize those people that are on duty and those kind of things. We'll work with you to do that. If there are radios that you identify that are not day-to-day use, maybe they're a cache and they can be programmed before by you guys or after migration, we want to identify those too, because that'll just help us get through the process. We want to make sure that you can communicate and that you have what you need. But if there is something that maybe doesn't have to be a priority, be make sure that you can identify those as well during this process. I think that, like I said, my team will work with you. We'll continue to work on that. We're working today on, you know, still trying to program what radios we can. If you've asked for programming and we haven't finalize some of that programming for the current system, we'll try and do some of that during this process, or we're trying to get back into those to get to you guys on those too. We are on the old system, you know, maxed out on IDs, so we've slowed down that process, and we appreciate really your guys' help in that. And I know that that's a difficult thing, but you guys have been, as our stakeholders, have been fantastic in working with us and understanding that process. So we'll continue to work through that as well during this phase and get those done, migrated new radios that you have from older radios, that process as well. So I think the communication will come out over the next few days and weeks. We'll identify a little bit more, but if there's anything on programming that we're needing or you guys are needing from me, please reach out. Willing to help and spend the time to do that, to get that done. We have been programming all the L3 Harrises that came into our warehouse. We did get some more recently, so those that may have a few more that they ordered for the your backup radios or other things, we'll get those programmed and get those to you. If you know of an agency that has radios there that hasn't picked up, please reach out to them and let them know to reach out to me, and we'll make sure that we continue that so you guys can make sure you get those radios. If you've ordered L3 Harris radios and they come directly to you, we need to work on assuring that those get IDs assigned to them so that we can get them programmed in this process. So if you do have radios that have come into you from L3 Harris directly at some point, please reach out to me and let's work through that process. But anything that we can help on the programming team, please reach out. We're here to help. We're going to try and get through this and make sure that you guys are prepared and successful in this as much as we are. So thanks.
Thanks, Mike. Does anyone have any questions on that or any concerns? I think it will be really valuable if we can utilize some of the resources you guys have in the different counties and within your agencies to help us reprogram some of these radios. Like Mike said, we don't have to reprogram the radios, the legacy radios before soft or during soft code over. We can certainly do that beforehand if Mike's got the code plugs ready. And so if you will just reach out to him and let us know if you're going to be planning to do some programming or you're willing to help with that, because that's something you're doing right now for your agency, please let us know. Gene Moffitt, go ahead.
I got James Stevens here. We have a question for you.
Mike, you talked about being certified to program. Attended a class a little bit ago, but what is the process of that certification so we can make sure that we're ready to go?
Yeah, so if you attending that class is the key on our end, and that's partially so that we know that you have the knowledge and abilities. We know a lot of agencies have been doing programming. We've taken that on, and you guys are one of those. So attending that class is the key to that, so we can track that, and we know who to reach out to, who the point of contacts are on that. If you have other people that want to be certified, we'll work through trying to get that done and get some additional trainings for the agencies as well.
Thank you.
And then we appreciate
and
that.
And then purchasing the software. Oh, sorry, Gene. Purchasing the software and hardware, Mike V.
Yeah, so additionally, you know, depending on what radios you have, will require software. Each vendor is different. If you need a contact for one of the vendors in the state of Utah, I can provide that to you. There's different costs, of course, for each of those, depending on the radios you are. I know the software for Motorola, as long as you have a Motorola account and been working through them, you should be able to download the software for free. For L3Harris, you'll need a dongle to even load the software, plus the software and cables. And then Kenwood is just your local dealer. There's not a specific one in Utah necessarily, but we do have Kenwood contacts if you have Kenwood radios that need to be programmed.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it. And then because of our across the state situation, we'll keep in touch with Mike if we can, so that we can kind of coordinate that. To make sure that we touch all of those areas that we have. We appreciate you guys and happy to work with you.
Thanks, Gene. Yeah, you guys are definitely on our radar. We know that you guys are spread throughout the state, similar to how DPS and other state and federal agencies are. So we appreciate you guys being on the call and being engaged with this process. That's very helpful to us as well. So Gus, go ahead.
Thanks. Mike might have mentioned it. But on the firmware update, we just need to have that done before final cutover, correct?
If it's the firmware should be updated as soon as possible. If it's an XTS or XTL, then that needs to be done before it can be programmed to be able to accept it. The Apexes, most of them, the firmware that's in there will be fine. I would still reach out to Motorola and check what firmware you're on the radios, and also what the latest is. But XTSs, XTLs, some of those older radios need to have firmware upgrades, and definitely flash to phase one upgrades before they can be programmed.
Okay.
They will not connect to the system.
That's mostly talking about APX. We did a flash upgrade on the XTSs way back when, and just making sure on the APX. So APX should be good to go for firmware phase one.
Yeah, I encourage you to try and get that done before the final migration. We will be able to do programming in them. You can put programming into them. The latest firmware for the phase one, phase two capabilities will be the best for your radio and the best for the system. There's always those little quirks that they change and fixing them. So we do suggest that you get those done as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Mike, is there different needs? Do they have are there different things they need, different cables they need for firmware updates versus programming updates?
Yeah, the firmware will go through the same cables, but the firmware's and through the software as well. But in the case of the XTSX XTLs, there's flash drives or jump drives dongles that you have to have had or have that you'll need to use as well to do that. Like I said, the XTLs and XTSs, if you have not already done that, the chances of getting that, because they have been end of life service for Motorola, for is very difficult to do that. We've tried to go through ours and see what we have, but we don't have very many either. I know some agencies have some. So if you do have some and you run into a problem at some point, there are other agencies out there that may have something that works, but really working with Motorola to identify what flash should have been or firmware is important. But going through the cable, the same cable and the software.
Okay, good. So again, if you're interested in doing programming, and again, it would be not full programming, you would still need to reach out to UCA, to Mike's team. They would build the personality or the code plug, depending on the type of radio you have. And then they would email that to you. And then you guys can just plug those new personalities into the radios you have, which, you know, I know this is a new concept. And in the past, we've said, no, we don't want agencies programming, but we want you guys to be able to, first of all, it will save you $10 a radio. And secondly, it will be on your timeline. Sometimes, you know, we have a lot of requests come in at the same time for programming. And so sometimes our guys get stacked up. They are constantly busy. And so it's been interesting too, how many people are still programming radios, even though we know, or they know, we're cutting over. We get you guys still have day-to-day needs. So we're trying to manage all of that. If there is a, if you guys do want to get the certified, if you will, to go through Mike's class, it's a pretty basic class. We'll start doing some online, so you can have that option. Don't have to drive all the way up to. Hey, Jennifer, would you mind muting? Thank you so much. But we don't want you guys all to have to drive up to the Wasatch Front too for a class. So we're happy to start doing some of those online. But again, it's timing. And so we might not have any of those until the summer. But you can certainly reach out and get the software and the hardware you need so that you're ready to go. And if we get enough people, maybe we can throw one together online so we can get that done, especially if there's enough people who want to help with the soft cutover programming. We would love your help. So and then, so Lieutenant Allridge asked, the XTS and XTL radios will work on the new system at final cutover. I think there's an asterisk, but I'll let Mike address that.
Yeah, XTSs and XTLs, they need to have at least, they have to have the phase one flash upgrade. If that has not been done, they will not work on the new system. They also need to have the most recent firmware put into them. And most recent is relevant to the last, in most cases, that they actually put out for those since their end of life. Motorola, in some cases, if you don't have that or have not done that already, they may not even provide that because they are they've been out of service for a while and they're in the radio spectrum, if you will. So if you haven't done that, I would suggest reaching out to Motorola to see if that's even possible or available. But without those two things, they will not work on the new system.
Lieutenant Allridge, does that answer your question? Awesome. Thank you. Paul noted in the chat that he is happy that we're allowing for agencies to do programming. So we are also happy about that, Paul. We appreciate the help. Does anyone have any other questions? Let's see. Okay. Dan, do you want to quickly touch on the BDA topic? I know, and maybe talk about what you did last week with the fire marshals and bring everyone, just give them a quick update on that class.
Sure, I can do that. Last week, I guess it was last week, wasn't it? I went down to and attended the fire marshals convention. There was a really good presentation put on by the Safer Buildings Coalition, because there's been a lot of questions from the fire marshals as of late regarding in-building communications and BDA and DAS systems. UCA recently put out a letter. Well, we put out several over the last year regarding BDAs and distributed antenna systems. And our current stance is there are currently two classes of in-building amplification. There's Class A and Class B. And to avoid getting too deep into the technical side of it, Class A's tend to be channelized, so they amplify a specific channel on the system, whereas the bandwidth on a Class B is fairly wide, and it amplifies everything within that range. Now, there are advantages and disadvantages to both of those, some of those being cost, some of those can be interference, but those of us here at UCA are working really hard to make sure that as those installations are implemented, that they're done so professionally and with proper engineering to avoid interference. If you go to our website, UCA 911, and you click on applications, you'll find a form to fill out to register your BDA or in-building amplification system with UCA. It is absolutely required because UCA, as the licensee, is in charge of those frequencies, and anybody that wants to amplify those needs to be registered with us. Also, Class B amplifiers need to be by law registered with the FCC. So we have plenty of great vendors across the Wasatch Front that have professional engineering that have spent the time, the money, and the training, and have the expertise to put those in. So if you are struggling with in-building coverage currently, then I would suggest that you look to one of those vendors for in-building amplification. But the important note that I can't stress enough is that we need to know about it, and it has to be registered with us. I'm happy to answer any questions I can about that if there are any.
Dan, there's a question. Paul in the chat said he wants to learn more about the statutes that support making a BDA mandatory. So that is in 15A. -1-403 and 15A52. I'll put that in the chat though, but that's where I would go to research that. And then if you look at Representative Wilcox bill's House Bill 84, I believe it is, that he also addresses BDAs and some potential changes to this section of statute and what's required. So I just put the references in statute for you. The second one, I put that incorrectly. Sorry. There you go. So hopefully that helps. But if you have any questions, reach out to Dan. He's definitely our expert in all things emergency, BDA, DAS, ERSI is the new word.
I'm quickly becoming an expert.
Right. If he doesn't know, he'll find out. But it's there's a lot on that one. And obviously, those are pretty important. They're very important. All right. Does anyone have any questions on that? Do you guys, maybe we'll run through our expansion sites really quick and where we're at with that, if that would be helpful. Let me just share my screen. All right. So with our 25 expansion sites, as you guys know, we have this in our contract with L3H to add the 25 sites. All of the 119 legacy sites have been completed. The 25 expansion sites that we anticipate to be, we are trying to be super aggressive and have 24 of we want 25 done, but I'll get into that in a minute. We're hoping and keeping our fingers crossed that we'll get 24 of the 25. It would just be even better if we could obviously get that 25th one. But it doesn't mean that these are the only 25 sites we're ever going to expand to. We already have a list of new sites that we're looking at. But I'll get into that after I go through these. So the 25 expansion sites we completed, 100% completed and ready to go, three of those in 2023. And obviously there's several elements to these sites, but so Castlegate, Bookcliffs, and Goslin. And then we have nine of them ready for P25 equipment installation and optimization. So L3H is scheduled to start this work in February. So that will be for Horn, Rudd's Roost, Tanksville, East Park, Top of Rocks, Price PSAP, Cedar Mesa, Emery, Moore, and Salina Rodeo Grounds. And then we have seven under construction right now, and that's Mountain Home, Coal Mountain Ranch, Copper Ridge, South Creek, Argyle, Dugway, and Ibapah. Basically, those have been started, but they're not ready for the equipment. Although, and then we have all of the equipment for all of the P25 sites ordered. We have all of the sites that I've previously mentioned. So for these seven that are under construction and the nine that are ready for optimization, we have all of the P25 equipment ordered and in Utah now. I just signed the document to order the equipment for these next six. These are in various states of progress with the contracts and detailed design phase. So that would be Brian Head, Liberty, Navajo Mountain Clinic, Notch Peak, Robbins Lake, and then Moccasin. You can see Moccasin has an asterisk. That's the 25th site. That's the one we're hoping. We don't have as much underway on that one, other than we have reached out. So we're in process. We're hoping to get that one done, but we are more confident that we'll have the other 24 that I've just listed and shown you guys completed. But weather's a factor, you know, I mean, there's 1,000 factors. So especially on those last six where we're trying to get the contract signed and stuff, that's typically one of our hardest parts to get accomplished when we're looking at sites. But again, we have a list of our future sites. These are our expansion 25 that have specifically, they weren't named in our contract, but it was just outlined that we would expand by 25 sites. So that list has changed some as different things have changed with either not getting contracts or coverage and things like that. So if there's an area, and we'll be doing assessments once we cut over, there will be more. We'll continue. I don't know of a day of a time where we'll sit back and say, we've got all this coverage and we don't need to build any more sites. Also, another thing we're looking at is looking at potentially doing micro sites, just small sites that have a limited footprint in canyon areas where we know that DOT and some local entities and certainly DPS have never had coverage. And so we're looking at that and being aggressive with L3H in trying to see if there's a potential that we could add some of those microsites that don't need as much backhaul, certainly not, maybe not even our own tower and not as much equipment. So any questions on our sites or coverage? Okay. Well, we're kind of nearing the end. I'm going to go around and let everyone from UCA share any last thoughts if they have any. I'll start with Brad and then I'll wrap it up at the end. Go ahead, Brad.
I just wanted to thank everybody for their time today. I know that time is precious, as Tina mentioned, and you've got a lot on your plate, but we have a busy year ahead of us, as she also talked about and we've discussed. So please be patient with us as we work through the challenges. Let us know things that we can help you with, and so we can resolve all of the issues and keep this thing moving forward. So thank you for your time and efforts that you've given us and will continue to give us moving forward. So thanks.
Bill, you want to go?
It looks like we had a question. Do we want to take that real quick?
Yeah, that'd be great.
All yeah, right. Sorry to wait till the end to do this. This is Jaden with Ogden City. I kind of wanted to loop back a bit just about the thing that Mike brought up about programming the radios and kind of offloading some of that overhead onto the agencies. We'd definitely be interested in doing that, though I'll only speak to me on this, but I'd be a complete novice in that area. We did attend the certification training last year. That was a while ago, though, and we haven't had any opportunity since then to practically apply that information, so I wouldn't be very confident in my ability to remember just based off of that how to do that. I know you mentioned that you were thinking about doing some kind of virtual certification trainings again at some point. That's probably something we'd be interested in, or and I don't know how practical this is, or if the option's available, but I mean, if there was even something like a document or something just kind of detailing a step-by-step process of, you know, if you have this kind of radio or whatever, and you have these, you know, code plugs or whatever it is from us, just this is the process that you would use to get that loaded on there. We're kind of anxious on our side. We want to make sure that we're as prepared as possible for when soft cutover rolls around, and then ultimately the hard cutover. If we can get as far ahead of this as possible, that's something we're interested in doing, but we're just a little bit unsure and a bit intimidated by the whole process. So if there's some additional resources that we can get on that, that would be great.
Yeah, absolutely. And in the meantime, too, once that soft cutter, I think that would be a good time for those that have gone through that to be there. And if not, and we can work through that. And then you can watch and help our team as we go through that. And that'll give you some hands-on as well as an opportunity to see the process again and actually see it in action on how that. But yeah, additionally, providing some of that, we can put that together and get that out to you. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, that would be great. Thank you.
Okay, Chad, yeah, go ahead. I just wanted to say...
Oh, I'm so sorry, Phil.
Oh, what was that?
I'm sorry, Chad has his hand up, I think. Can he just jump in with a question?
Yes,
okay. So sorry.
Yeah, I just want to just double check on those dates for soft cutover. That is for the PSAPs only, or that's for all radios?
Yeah, that's for all radios. So we will actually be in the area and work with to get those radios pre-programmed with the... Again, with a your current code plug plus the three extra, you know, whatever those first three zones are in your new code plug or personality, we're building those now so that you have those in there. So that cutover migration, if a radio is lagging behind or it's the end of the day, that you have communication no matter what when cutover starts, and then we can make sure that those radios get there. So it is all radios and PSAPs during that process.
Okay, that's what I was looking for.
Good All question, right. though, Chad. Thank you.
Yeah, parting words here. Yeah, I just look forward to meeting all of you. If you have any issues, my email is on the meeting invite. Feel free to reach out, or if you have my phone number, feel free to reach out to that as well. With any questions, issues, if somebody shows up at your PSAP and they're unscheduled or something like that, feel free to call. We can get it worked out.
Thanks, Phil. Dan, do you have anything else?
Yeah, I'd just like to echo what's been said so far. We greatly appreciate all of the help that has been given to us so far by our stakeholders and the help that you continue to give us. This is an absolutely tremendous undertaking and challenge that has put myself and the rest of the organization at some extremely high stress levels, and we can't do this without the help of our stakeholders. This is we're one big team pointed at one giant goal, and I just want to thank everybody for their help.
Dan, Mike.
Yeah, again, echo everything that's been said, and just add on to that that, you know, our success is your success, and our goal is to make sure that every person that touches a radio in the state of Utah has the ability to communicate and has the ability to get the help they need. I always attribute a radio, in many cases, even more important sometimes than a hose or a gun, because, you know, that's your first line of defense to get you help beyond taking that help on yourself. So we really want this to be successful, and we know that there's a lot that's going on, and sometimes we try our best to make sure we're communicating that, and UCA's team is trying to do that better with these. So I appreciate that this has been put together, and that you guys attended to be able to help us. We look forward to continuing and actually growing our relationships with you guys as our stakeholders and part of our team at UCA. So thanks for everything you guys do out there to keep us safe as citizens, but also to help us get our mission and goals accomplished.
Thanks, Mike. You guys can see a theme here. Hopefully our actions will be louder than what our words are as we go through the next year and over the next several years. We just really want to make sure you guys understand that we understand we're here to serve you. So appreciate all the comments. I appreciate all the questions and everyone that attended. Hopefully you found this helpful. I definitely want to end right on time because of everyone's time. Just a couple of things. If you have questions or issues, the items you want us to address at one of these next ones, feel free to email me. You guys have my email address. If you don't, it's on the website. Or you can text me the comment. We're happy to throw it on to make sure it's something that we address if it's something weighing on your mind. You don't have to wait for one of these, but you can certainly do that. Hopefully this has been helpful for you guys. Also, we're going to be posting these meetings, plus we're going to be posting the schedules, and we will be sending out a soft cutover newsletter, if you will, through our email group that we have, and then we'll send it out the way I have before, which is through the chiefs, the police and fire chiefs associations, the sheriff's association, the PSAP club, and then through the email group. So if you want to sign up for our emails, go to our website. And at the very bottom of our, just scroll all the way to the bottom of our, the front page, our homepage, and you'll see sign me up, and you can just throw your email in there and you'll get the emails we send out. So we'll be doing a soft cutover email newsletter, if you will, this week. We'll also be sending out an IRCES newsletter this week. So two of those. If you need anything else, let us know. But if not, thank you again for your time. We appreciate it. And hopefully you'll join us next month. Have a good one.
Thank you so much for your help.
Thank you.